Blog Talk Radio.
Let's see about maybe playing a little bit of music here. Okay.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to play a little bit of music, and then we'll get into the message. Okay? So, my faith will stand. About the love of God, thinking that he is so loved that the world world, their thoughts begin to swim in an ocean so deep that the depth of it cannot be measured. Some think of the word heaven. Heaven is a great word. Just to mention the word heaven, you begin to imagine the beauty and splendor of a place that is built by a heavenly architect, the Lord Jesus. You imagine a glorious and spacious place prepared for every person who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a place heaven is. What a word heaven is. But I would like for you to think about another word. There's a word that sums up what grace really is. There's a word that describes the love of God. There's a word that gives us hope of heaven. And I actually truly believe that one of the most precious words found in the Word of God is the word forgiven. I read about a cemetery not far from New York that had a particular grave which has inscribed upon its headstone just one word, and that was forgiven. There is no name, no date of birth or death. The stone is embellished by the sculptor's art. There is no epitaph, no fulsome eulogy, just the one word, forgiven. I believe with all my heart the greatest thing that can be said of any person or written upon their grave is forgiven. One preacher said, I believe without question, the most beautiful word in the English language is the word forgive. It is the most tender and touching word that can ever be spoken upon earth. Let me give you two reasons why I believe the word forgiven is about the most precious word you will ever speak. One, think about what forgiveness does. Being forgiven means that sin and guilt has been removed from your life. Two, think about what forgiveness demands. It demanded the death of Jesus Christ on the cross to accomplish forgiveness. Have you thought about the fact that when forgiveness is experienced in the human heart, that it causes rejoicing in the halls of heaven? In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God over the sinner, or he that repenteth. So forgiveness, how beautiful it sounds in the human ear. It's wonderful to walk through life knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that our sins have been forgiven. How glorious it shows on human face, a person cannot hide on their face that their sins have been forgiven. I think about the story in Shakespeare's Macbeth. Lady Macbeth was guilty of murder, and in her deranged mental state, she imagined that the blood of the victims was still on her hands. So use your imagination and watch her as she walks through the corridors of the palace, wringing her hands of blood of her victim. She cries out, all the perfumes of Arabia cannot sweeten this little hand. I am glad that I have some good news for every person that may feel that they cannot get over their past. God's forgiveness is extended to you and can be experienced by you if you only receive it by faith. We are told here in Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, that a person can know for sure that their iniquities are forgiven and their sins are covered. A person can rejoice because their sins are gone. There's an old hymn that puts it this way. You ask me why I'm happy? Well, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers, they ask me where they are. I say my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I want to show you from Scripture how we can rejoice, how a happy person should be to know that their sins are washed away with the blood of Jesus Christ. What are the reasons of forgiveness? Why does a person need to be forgiven? There are two reasons to demand forgiveness. One, there is a problem of sin. We are told in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are guilty because we are sinners. You will never find in God's word where sin was ever taken lightly by God. The reason for this is because sin is against God. Therefore, sin can only be forgiven by God. I don't know if you have thought about sin this way, but Sin is an attack on God. Sin is an assault against God. The consequences for committing sin is death. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You may be sitting there thinking, why is God so severe in dealing with sin? Sin is breaking of the law. Sin is breaking fellowship with God, and sin is breaking down of a life. As you study the Word of God, you will discover that sin is described in different ways. The Word of God calls sin wickedness, iniquity, vanity. It describes a person who chooses to live a life that lacks substance, that lacks meaning, that lacks purpose. Sin has promised to give a person much, but in reality it gives them nothing. Sin leads to a hollow, empty, unfulfilled life. The Word of God describes sin as being unfaithful. This speaks of a person who has broken a trust between him and his God. It is failing to keep this word to God. They seem, they have abused the trust that has been committed to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it is required in stewardess that a man be found faithful. The Word of God describes sin as a troubled sea. Sin produces an inner turmoil that cannot be stopped by any more than the waves of the sea can be forced to cease. It is an inner tossing and turning, and it is an inward agitation that constantly turns. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 to 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. The Word of God uses words to describe sins such as calamity, distress, adversity, grief, affliction, misery, sorrow, trouble, wretchedness. These words speak of a person who brings injury to themselves and to others. It describes a person who intentionally hurts, who is out to bring pain and sorrow to others. The Word of God describes sin as one who refuses to be under right authority. The Word of God describes sin as a person who would rather go their own way instead of God's way, no matter what the consequences may be. We are told in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto the man, but the end, therefore, are the ways of death. And Proverbs chapter 14:14 tells us that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. We are told in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. The Word of God tells us that sin is missing the mark. This is when a person fails or comes short of the purpose of life that God has ordained for them. It is missing the goal that should be reached. God has a goal for every person, and God has originally gifted them to attain that goal. But sin causes that person to settle for something far less and far lower than God's designed purpose. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person out there has experienced this problem of sin. Everyone has either lived in sin or are still living in sin. Whatever the condition you may be in may remind you that every one of us at one time or another has been guilty before God. I said all of this about the matter of sin in order to stress the next statement. All of us need to be forgiven. No one has yet lived except the Lord Jesus who do not need the forgiveness of God. There is a persistence of shame. The problem of sin leads to the persistence of shame. When I speak of the shame of sin, I'm really talking about the guilt of sin. You see, guilt can cause tension. It can cause physical stress. It can lead to an emotional breakdown. Guilt can make a person withdraw from reality. Guilt can put a person on the brink of nervous breakdown. Guilt brings an inward conflict that is not necessarily seen on the outside. Guilt many times denies truth. Guilt can cause a person to go in denial about their sin, and it can cause a person to point the finger at someone else as to blame. The pressure of guilt produces pain that is unbearable. In Psalms Chapter 32, David, after he had sinned, describes the guilt as being fatigued, being frustrated, being a failure. One writer described David as saying, intense pain developed in my heart, great enough to kill me. So sin turns happiness into heaviness. Sin turns satisfaction into sorrow. Sin turns joy into judgment. Sin turns blessings into bitterness. And sin turns delight into disappointment. The reason why a person who is living in sin feels guilty is because they are guilty. We are being told that we need to adjust ourselves to our guilt. Listen carefully. We don't need to adjust ourselves to guilt. We need our guilt to be removed. We don't need to get used to feeling guilty. We need to get rid of your guilt. I believe that it will be a happy day in the life of every person when they reach the point in their life of being tired of living with guilt and pain and learn what it means to be forgiven. Victory comes by being forgiven of our sin. Now, I would like to say that you ought to be thankful that sin brings pain into your life. The pain and pressure that brings makes us realize that we cannot handle this problem on our own. I would like to refer back to Psalm 32, and in 32, David tells us that while he was under the pressure of sin, he realized that if God didn't help him, his life was headed for destruction. Therefore, when we realize and understand that we cannot live with this problem of sin and the persistence of shame, we then realize we need help. In other words, we need forgiveness. What are the reasons of forgiveness? What are the requirements of forgiveness? We need to be forgiven. We are not forgiven because of our merits. We can be forgiven because God does something for us that we do not deserve. Now, forgiveness is something that has certain attachments to it. You must have a heart that is willing to change. Repentance means to turn from sin to God. It means a reorientation of thought. Here is what happens when you repent. You begin to hate things God hates. You begin to love the things God loves. Repentance is turning your back completely on your old lifestyle, meaning that you have no desire to go back to living that way again. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And may he have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Jeremiah 25, verse 5, they said, turn ye again now, everyone, from this evil way, and from the evil of your doings. You must have a heart that is willing to respond. God calls a sin an abomination. Man calls it an accident. God calls sin a blunder. Man calls sin blindness. God calls sin a disease. Man calls sin a defect. God calls sin a choice. Man calls sin a chance. God calls sin iniquity. Man calls sin infirmity. God calls sin leprosy. Man calls sin a luxury. God calls sin a tragedy. Man calls sin a trifle. God calls sin wickedness. Man calls sin a weakness. Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman told a distinguished minister, Dr. Howard, from Australia, who preached very strongly on the subject of sin. After the service, one of the church officers came to the council with him in the study. He said, Dr. Howard, we don't want you to talk as openly as you do about man's guilt and corruption. Because of our boys and girls hear you discussing that subject, they will more easily become sinners. Call it a mistake, if you will. But do not speak so plainly about sins. The minister took down from the shelf a small bottle and showing it to a visitor and said, do you see this label? It says trichine. And underneath it, the bold red letter, the word poison. The minister looked at the man and said, do you know what you are asking me to do? You are suggesting that I change the label. Suppose And I changed the label on this bottle of poison and put on it the label essence of peppermint. You see that would, you see what would happen? Someone would use this bottle thinking it was peppermint, not knowing the danger involved, would certainly die. The reason why I gave you as much as I could about the Word of God said about sin, you would know that God really calls sin. In order to make your confessing right, you must confess what God says about sin and admit that you have sinned against God. God never told us to categorize our sins. He told us to confess our sins. So we must be in full agreement with God, agreeing with him about what he has to say about sin. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he says that covetous and sin shall not prosper, but those who confess us and forsake them shall have mercy. So you cannot unsin, but you can confess your sins before God. Okay? What are the reasons of forgiveness? What are the requirements of forgiveness? What are the results of forgiveness? You see, once you repent of your sin and confess your sins to God, realizing that cannot overcome your sins unless you have God to help you, only then can you be forgiven. So if you pray, "Dear God, I have sinned in my life, and I realize I have sinned against you, and I agree with you about sin, I am wrong, and I'm sorry, and I want you to forgive me," God will immediately forgive you of all your sins. Now, I want you to see just what happens to your sins once you confess them and forsake them. See, God covers them over. In Psalms chapter 32, verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." So when a person covers their sin by confession, God covers their sin with his blood. The word "uncovered" means concealed. God takes the most shameful wife that has been struggling with his filth of sin and covers him with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when God is the Father sees that person, he sees him through the blood of Jesus Christ. He only sees the blood. He cannot see the sins because they are covered. Amen. I hope you all like this message that I have given today about sin and the word forgiveness. Amen. All right. Well, I see we got interesting people in the chat room. Alrighty. Okay. Well, let's put on some more music now. Okay? I hope you enjoy these songs. Amen.
Meditating on own creation. Thinking how you made everything out of Nathan. With a statement, you sustain it. Let there be, and there is. My brain can't contain this. It's what a fame and a claim. It's so dangerous. It'll make a heart sing that my name is the greatest. So Josh, Rich, Ray, Alex, Dave. Call me the repentance if I ever go astray. Let that money ever get in the way. Then I burn it. The price for my soul is something I couldn't pay. Sometimes I read them articles, believe in what they say. Sweating my own press. Got this so unimpressed. Nah, I'm a mess. Made out of dust to return to it upon death. My soul rests. And yet, they're making deals out the ones who've been rescued. Who cares if they remember my name if I forget?
All right. Bad day.
Seems to greatness. The other side is haters. To them it seems fake.
angel who destroys, but he ain't know him well. Cause they don't know he fell, he degraded, he fell. The storyteller's a liar while people lighten him well. The people who live here like crackheads, they love dying slowly. They either laying down or acting. Nowhere in the world is a mad haven, cool places. It's supposed to be a safe for a man's restoration, a man's refuge, a city or a place sacred. But it's crazy that some are seeing it. They see it hopeless.
My whole life.
Okay, yeah. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your long Savior, you will have a chance to do so in just a moment. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of sinning? And you would like to know a Lord that is beautiful? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I graciously receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you to the family of God. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Cobra Jeff, call back in, and I'll bring you on. 111.
You are now in the host queue.
Let's try one more one. Okay. Cobra Jeff, I'm glad you're back on. You came back in the chat room. Call back in, Cobra Jeff. Something happened. I don't know what happened. Okay, 111.
You are now in the queue.
111. Oh, 585.
I'm not 111. Yeah,
hey,
I'm Cobra
Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, Kenny, how you doing today? Is Ashley causing problems again?
Who?
Ashley.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Ashley is the cause of all the echo calls. So, you know, Ashley has a habit of trying to ruin shows. You know how she always calls in and goes, "Hi," you know.
Yeah.
God damn you, Ashley. So, how's it going, Kenny? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Enjoying this wonderful Sunday night, you know, getting ready for work in the morning.
All right. You going to watch the game tonight?
I am not. I just got done making Sunday sauce, and I'm going to relax, put on the new Halloween movie, and just relax.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
So what do we got going on tonight? Anybody on the line?
I got a bunch of echo callers.
Ah, damn you, Ashley. All right, well, is there any more callers right now, Kenny?
Well, 111, I'm sure echo callers, but I'll bring them on. 111, you're on the air.
I'm here with
you. 111, you're on the air. Hello? Okay.
111.
Okay, let's try another 111.
Hey.
That's Ashley. That is Ashley all day long. Tony,
okay, we'll
I'm in full agreement.
Okay, let's try another one.
Kenny, can we just, like, ban Ashley from the room? Because, you know, this is ridiculous. This is a godly show.
Yes, it is.
I think you should just ban Ashley. Ban Ashley for good. You're not going to miss her. Miss him anyway, so. See, even Jenna Jameson, and she's a porn star. She knows it was Ashley. Yes, it is,
okay.
Ashley. So, Kenny, what does the Bible say about lying about being a fake demon? Does Jesus frown on that?
Yeah, Jesus frowns on lying.
And I would say she's going to hell, but, you know, he would actually probably like that.
Probably.
Where's Tony F? Bring Tony F on.
I think he's cooking dinner.
What's he making? Anything good?
I really don't know. I didn't go check and see.
Okay. All right. So what's tonight's sermon on? Anything? What are you lecturing tonight? Anything good?
The sermon was "Praise God, My Sins Are Gone."
Ah. No, actually, I'm not going to hell. I'm an asshole, but I have a good heart.
Yes, you do, Cobra Jeff.
Thank you, Kenny. That's why I love you. I love you, buddy. God bless you.
I love you. I love you, too. Well, for some reason, we don't have Pastor Beal, Pastor Leroy, or Pastor Kent with us today. I don't know what happened with them.
They're probably busy. I mean, it is a Sunday. You know, some of them might have late sermons they're doing, or, you know, they might have church activities.
That's true. It's possible.
It's okay because your word is all we need, buddy. That's it.
Yeah. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Yep.
Well, let's get into the prophetic word for the day. The Father says today, you are not crazy. Nope, you are not crazy. You are not black backslidden, and you are not alone. I extend to you this day as a basis of relationship and a preceding word that does not require you to go back to what you know. I have called you out of. It is a new day, says God, a new day with a fresh path. You have not passed this way before, says the Father, so listen with a focused heart and mind. The direction I am taking you in will cause your mind to go tilt, and your rational will rebel, but you will put your foot where I put my foot, and the dividends of the kingdom living will be dispensed into your life in powerful and practical ways. I call you to a new carefreeness today, says the Father. When problems assail and distractions abound, saying that out of your mouth I care less, because you have cast your cares upon me and cast the whole of your expectations on what I'm doing to subvert the plan of the enemy and to bring you into a wealthy place. Without carefreeness, says the Father, it doesn't matter what your bank balance is. A wealth advisor is no heart of libertinity. It is a astute pauper. The Christ consciousness I am forcing within you is always abundance, money regardless of your bank balance, because you know that money, favor, whatever is needed, will come from wherever it is time when it is due. Because of this liberty of supply, you will form this day from forward, begin to move in unforced charity towards others, giving out of yourself even more than you have ever done in your lifetime. And this word goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's see, we got some more callers. 111.
Hi.
Okay, let's try another one.
Hi.
Okay, all right. That's enough of that. Well, anyway, guys, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. God bless you. May you have a wonderful Sunday night. Watch the game if you all plan on doing so, okay? And I will see you tomorrow. So have a blessed night. Amen.